Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
There was actually a woman in Arlington, Texas, who believed that God told her to marry Kenneth Copeland. And there was just one problem, and that was that Gloria Copeland was married to Kenneth Copeland. And so she cursed Gloria and commanded Gloria to die and had a wedding in the spirit where she married Kenneth Copeland in the spirit. Now that's the kind of weirdness that just being in the spirit will get you into. And I've talked to some people before that, oh, they had an angel appear to them. They had this. They felt this. And there is no reason. You can't reason with them because they've got a word from God. Now, again, I'm not trying to detract from hearing the Holy Spirit, but I'm trying to put this into balance. You have to have the word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the sword will distinguish between, is this the spirit and is this the soul? Are your own thoughts? Are your thoughts just being influenced by the devil? Is this a carnal desire, a natural selfish desire? Or is this God that's giving you this desire? How do you know whether your desires are from God or not? Well, this is a little bit of a complicated issue, but to simplify it, basically it just comes down to what does the Word say? The Spirit and the Word will never, ever, ever conflict. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son is called the Word in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was flesh, was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and they agree 100%. They will never violate each other. And so if you believe that you've got something from the Spirit, you need to find it in the Word where it is conformed to the Word, where it is consistent with the Word. And if anything you feel so passionately about and feel that this is God, and if it violates the Word, either you have a misunderstanding of the Word and you don't do anything until you get it straightened out, or you have misunderstood. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. If you feel that God has told you to divorce somebody because they don't cook well, and it's time for you to go get this person and you're coveting somebody else's husband, I can tell you based on the Word of God, that's not the Holy Spirit leading you to do that. If you feel that the Holy Spirit is telling you to go out and do anything that's contrary to this Word, and if it doesn't conform to this Word, you're wrong. The Spirit and the Word will never disagree. And actually, if you could put these two things into agreement. Now see, some people who are really into the Spirit really don't like this because this is going to slow you down. This is a check and balance, and it's going to hamper your style, and you can't just feel something and then go out and claim that God told you to do it, and they don't like this. And again, I've had people get on my case and say, you just are too word-minded. But you need these two in balance. Matter of fact, I had one of my Bible college students one time. His wife was one that was always praying and just getting impressions, and whatever she felt, she said. And so she criticized me about being too word-minded. And so she had a dream one night, and she couldn't wait to tell me about this dream. And in the dream, she said, I saw you and you landed on Normandy Beach during World War II. And there was a minefield in front of you. And there was all of these potential mines. You take a wrong step, you're dead. And the Lord gave you a choice. Would you rather have a map that showed where the mines were? Or would you rather have a voice that just spoke in your ear and said, scoot forward one step, turn left one step? Would you rather have the Spirit or would you rather just have a map? And she thought she had me. And I said, man, that is a great illustration. I believe that was from God. And she says, what do you mean? I said, because. How do you know that voice is the right voice? And she said, well, you just assume that it's God. And I said, you know what? There's other voices besides God. But if you hear a voice saying, take one step forward, and if you found it on the map, and you put the two together to correct each other, and well, then that gives you a certainty that you don't have otherwise. And see, that's what I'm describing. I believe that God speaks to you, but everything God speaks to me is subject to what this Word says. You have to compare these two together and put them together to make sure that this is God that is speaking to you. And if you don't do that, you're going to be in trouble. If all you get is the Word, you know, you can misinterpret this Word. You need the Holy Spirit to help inspire and breathe upon this. I've actually heard people, if you go into enough Greek and Hebrew, you know, every once in a while I'll use a little bit of Greek and a little bit of Hebrew. I know a little Hebrew and a little Greek. One has a laundromat and the other one runs a Chinese restaurant. But anyway, I know just a little Greek and a little Hebrew. I'll use it occasionally, but when somebody is always going into the original language and telling you, oh, this doesn't mean this, it's this. You can go to these concordances and you can make a word say anything you want it to say. And some words, you have to take it by the context. You can take a word that means this. This is what the Greek Hebrew dictionary will define it as. But if it's in a sequence with other words, it totally negates it and flips it and makes it the opposite. And you can't just go by what that one word says. You have to be able to put it into context. So my point is, if you just want to dig deep enough and read 30 or 40 different commentaries on one word, you can nearly make the word say anything. I've heard people preach opposite things from the same Greek and Hebrew deal. You've got to have some spirit interpretation. You need to be led by the Spirit, and the Spirit will show you. Like, for instance, I just put two verses together out of Ephesians chapter 6 about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Holy Spirit will inspire you as you're reading one and say, well, what is this sword of the Spirit? Well, it's the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Scripture will answer itself. The Lord will show you things. The Holy Spirit can help give you interpretation. So you don't need to just read the Word and analyze it and pick it apart and know it mentally. You've got to be Spirit-inspired to understand the Word. The Word isn't written to your brain. Now, it takes your brain to read it and to help understand it, but you have to really receive revelation knowledge that comes from your spirit, from your heart, and not from your head. So you have to have the Spirit to interpret the Word. You can't just take the Word by itself or it'll become a club. You'll sit there and use it to beat people up. You'll use it to say, well, man, you violated this. And you miss the whole spirit of what's being said. And Jesus, He interpreted the Word correctly a number of times and showed the scribes and the Pharisees that, man, you have totally missed it. They had taken the most minute little commands and had twisted them, and it was like a legal document, and they twisted it and found a loophole to get out of this. And people who don't ever listen to the Holy Spirit and don't listen and read with their heart, they take the Word of God and it becomes a club that makes them mean and legalistic and condemning to people, and it hurts people. But on the other hand, if all you do is operate in the Spirit, you're going to go weird. Now, if you were operating totally in the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't go weird, but I'm saying there's more spirits out there than the Holy Spirit, and you need the balance and the stability of the Word of God to keep you from getting off and into your own spirit and your own flesh and somebody else's feelings and stuff. You need these two things in balance. This is such a simple truth, you have to have somebody to help you to misunderstand what I'm saying. And yet it's amazing how most people do not combine these two. And I just felt like it's necessary, if I'm teaching on the Holy Spirit and being sensitive and starting to flow in the Spirit, that you need this balance to recognize that the Spirit and the Word will never disagree. They always agree, and you have to be strong in the Word of God to be able to counter all of these things that come from the devil. Look over in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, and let me illustrate this through the life of Jesus. You can also find this same thing in Luke chapter 4. This is where the two times, there's two different writers that recorded this, but only one instance where Jesus was tempted by the devil. And in the third chapter is where Jesus, the third chapter of Matthew is where Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, and the heavens were open and an audible voice came out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And then there was a visible form or shape as a dove that descended. And so you heard the Father's audible voice. Of course, the Son was there in the physical flesh, and then a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. All three parts of the Godhead at once came down. And immediately in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" You know, I can teach on this. I got a whole series on how to overcome temptation. And it's based on this. It's multiple teachings. There's a lot in this, but you know, most people think that the temptation was to turn the stone into bread and satisfy his hunger. I think that that was a part of it. He was using Jesus' legitimate desire for food to gain his attention. But you know, the real temptation is when he said, "If you are the Son of God." He was trying to get Jesus to prove who he was outside of what God had said. The Lord had just spoken to him and said, "This is my beloved Son." He had God's opinion. But Satan was trying to get him to say, "If you are really the Son of God, prove it. Turn this stone into bread." That was the temptation. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Holy Spirit. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM237 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The 5th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 5th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to thank those of you who are partners with this ministry. You know, it's your giving that has enabled us to reach 2.2 billion people on this earth. But there are more that we can reach. There's so much more that we can do. We want multiple broadcasts. We want to be able to just saturate the airwaves so that people can't avoid this truth. And it just takes a lot of money. We are about halfway there to our goal of just making this, putting it in the face of people so that they have to confront these truths. I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a monthly partner with us. That's how God supplies our needs, is through our partners. And if you would call, we would love to share with you and have you become a monthly partner with us.